Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Can I just start by saying that, unlike last week, you will notice that I did manage to bring the Bible with me this week. Welcome to our service. And if there are any new people, new visitors, please make yourselves known to us. You are very welcome. And to those who may be listening to our service by means of communication outside of this building, we trust that you will feel part of it and enjoy our service. Emmanuel is part of the Old Time Church's partnership in Swindon, as well as our fellow partner, Highworth URC, and we send them our greetings. There are few notices, but some that I would draw your attention to. And first off, there will be tea and coffee in the hall, which is through these doors at the end of the service. And some notes for you to just note. There is a small reminder that Tuesday the 9th will be the second Tuesday of the month, and that there will be a tea and chat in the church hall from 2:30. And on that note as well, the final tea service will be held on the 28th of September. It's quite a bit far in advance, but nevertheless, it will be on the 28th of September. This will be the final tea service this year, and the theme will be your favourite hymns. Another note which is worth mentioning, and apologies again for something way off in the future, Liz finally has the Christmas card catalogue, and if you wish any, please speak to Liz. I'm sure you will all be aware that this afternoon the government is running their warning system, which will be on your phones at 3 o'clock, sending off a significant alarm. And finally, although it is very short notice, Christchurch in Swindon next Friday evening will be hosting a new play called The Beloved Son. It starts at 7 o'clock on Friday evening, and tickets will be £10 plus 50 pence for a booking fee if anybody wishes to attend. Our reader this morning is myself, Mike Gordon, and the reading will be from Jeremiah chapter 18, starting at verse 1. Please tell me if I've forgotten anything. Sorry? I will finish by lighting.
Worship leader today.
Sorry about that. Mark, you're very welcome, and we look forward to hearing your message. Thank you.
God has called us this morning that we may come together, that we may worship together, one with another, that together at the end of this service God will send us, that we may take God's hope to all. God calls, God sends. His people come and go in faith and in love. Amen. It's actually the best introduction I've ever had. In the fact that in the end, you know me. Those of you who don't, wish you hadn't. I was once at a worship meeting where Rob Frost was introduced. And this guy, he was a Baptist, so anyway. And he said, Rob Frost, the Methodist Church's only evangelist. The Methodist Church's only gospel preacher. The Methodist Church's only writer. Which, none of this is true. And when Rob walks on, and Rob was about my height, had a worse haircut, because he had hair. And Rob just walked on and he said, I did have a better welcome last week in Belfast when they said, Rob Frost, a sinner saved by the grace of God. So it's good to be with you. Come and share this morning. And we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to hear God's word and worship together. And we start with number 626 in Rejoice and Sing. Come that we may worship you, O Lord our God. And we worship you with the borrowed things. We worship you through the hymnody of others, through their words, their wisdom, their poetry, their expression, and their ability to put into words sometimes the words we cannot bunch together in one verse. And yet you had gifted them to do so that we may praise your name, that we may know our calling, and that we may serve your kingdom. We use the borrowed words of Scripture, for they are not our words. They are those written by others who have communed with you, who seek to bring to us your words, your guidance, your judgment, your admonition, your praise, but throughout all, the knowledge of your love. And as we listen to those words, we should be encouraged, yet challenged. We should be uplifted, yet reminded. We come to you that we may gather in prayer, that when we are called to pray, when we are called to hear, when we are called to listen for your voice, not only do we not know what we are going to say in prayer, for we are prompted by your Spirit, but we do not know what will come to us from your voice. And as we ask for you to speak to us in worship, we too don't know what that voice will say or where that voice will come from. Will it come from a word shared or heard in prayer? Will it come from a word of scripture that suddenly just stands out? Or from the line of a hymn? Or from the introit or the anthem, where something that we may think familiar strikes us new again? And this is why we come to worship. For you are a God that surprises us, a God that challenges us, and a God that will not let us rest until we have brought your kingdom in. Father, we know that we have perhaps not worked the hardest at bringing that kingdom in. We're called to deny ourselves, yet not always do so. We're called to trust in your works, your grace, and yet we try everything our way first. We're called to take up our cross, yet are fearful of what that may mean and lead to. We are called to follow Jesus, yet fearful of where we may walk. We come to you with these apprehensions, these concerns, that almost seem like lack of faith at times. Yet you are a God of faith and love. You know that in our hearts we would seek to serve you, follow you, to the end of our days and to the utmost. You make up with your grace and your love the gap that our humanity and fearfulness leaves. You are faithful to us. You are graceful to us. Your Son lived our life and walked among us and saw our daily plight. And it is in that knowledge that we are confident. For he sits at God's right hand and talks to God about us, having walked this way. So it is in and through him that we hear God's word of grace to all of us. Our sins are forgiven, our trespasses are forgotten, our shortcomings are made up, and God's love for us is eternal. And so may we come to Lord our God in the words that enable us to bring ourselves together as one, with our brothers and sisters around the world who share these words of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to sing once again, as we sing 654, and rejoice and sing. We turn to you, O God of every nation.
Amen.
Jeremiah, chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. God gets into conversation with Jeremiah and his judgment upon Judah for breaking their covenant through unfaithfulness and idolatry, pronouncing a curse they cannot escape and a warning that God will not hear their cries. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done?" says the Lord. "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way, and amend your ways and your doings." This is the word of the Lord.
The anthem for the choir is a setting of the Nunc Dimittis.
Thank you.
can all sing again now. Thank you, choir. 254, the kingdom of God is justice and joy in sing praise. Grammar school in Bridgewater. 600 boys, everyone known to the headmaster. He would just shout down the corridor at you, "Boy, stop running." Got it right every time. My dad had gone to the school a number of years earlier, quite a number of years earlier, one might say, and two of my dad's teachers were still there. Because in those days, because they had a private foundation, it could pay teachers over the time. And one of them was the rugby master of my dad's day, Jack Lawrence, who had those Blakeys on his shoes, and you could hear him coming from miles. There was silence before. Art teachers, though, even when I was a teacher myself, we had strange art teachers. They're funny people, you know. They're very different breed. We had one that had a very strange haircut, black horn-rimmed glasses that were like this, came round at the bottom. He had quite a long face. He was a chubby guy, that wasn't a problem. But he had this haircut where his hair was plastered to his head and cut across here in a fringe. So it went there to there. In the days before that was fashionable, you know, like it is now, it wasn't a fade, it was severe. If you wanted to waste 10 minutes at the beginning of the lesson, as you queued up outside and he was coming over, you went, "Shh, sir's coming, sir's going to be in, sir's coming, shh." He'd get you in and he'd go, "But I am not, sir, I am not, sir. I never wanted to be a teacher." And then he'd give you the lecture on how he never wanted to be a teacher, wanted to be an artist, and his father wouldn't pay for it, and he wouldn't want to be called sir because that wasn't what artists were called. That was 10 minutes of a lesson gone. And then he was replaced by someone different, very different. Those of us who remember in Af Opmam, if you remember in Af Opmam, there was a guy in it called La-di-da Gunnar Graham, who was very knowledgeable, and he was the spit image of him. The spit image of him. If you wanted to waste 10 minutes of lesson there, you asked him about the Olympics, because he represented England in the 4x400 metre relay in the Olympics in Tokyo. I was too young then, but it wasted a lesson. He got us onto other things in art besides just trying to paint, you know, versions of the Mona Lisa, you know, whatever. And we had a potter's wheel. We had a potter's wheel. And what happened was you went and sat at the potter's wheel and you made it go round with your foot. And he watched you. And then that, combined with his knowledge of your reputation from the staff room, decided whether you were allowed to use the potter's wheel. Of our class of 30 boys, only 8 were allowed to use it. You know the type of boys who got to use that, don't you? They were either artists or the snotty ones at the top. Anyway, we were going to make a what it was supposed to be. You're going to make a cup to drink from. You take home for the family. Well, anyway, the rest of us not using the thing had to roll our, what we were supposed to do was to roll our lump of our clay out into a slab and then form it into a cup and shape it with water in our hands and this. Or what you did was you rolled the slab out, curled it round, joined it down the middle with a little slop going like this. Out of the big strip that you'd left, you made a handle that you stuck on and curled round like that, and then you made some designs on the side, and then you fired it, and it came out just glorious mahogany brown. It was fantastic looking. Unfortunately, it was about almost half an inch wide at the lip. So if you put your mouth over it to actually drink, you couldn't take any liquid into your face. It just all ran down. But my mum, bless her heart, kept it in the cupboard all my days. And I actually moved with it down to my first job when I was 22. I did smash it later. So being a potter, rather like what I'm going to say, it's a bit difficult for me to sort of extemporise what it must be like on being a potter. There are those of us who are old enough to remember the potter's wheel that was the bit of thing they used to put in the BBC to make time up. You see, I have heard God spoken of in this as the God who destroys the pot. Because the pot's going a bit wonky, a bit like on Generation Game, you know, when they did it on there. And we didn't want to see someone make a pot or a vase, did we? We wanted to see someone fighting with the clay as it splattered all around. But I'm not taken in by the God that destroys the pot because it's not going in the right direction. Because that's not actually what really happens here. What God's speaking about is remaking. It's saying to Jeremiah, if they don't follow my will, then yes, I will. Doesn't say throw the clay away. God says he will attempt to remake. He doesn't say I'm going to throw that clay away and I'm going to start with another bit. He may have done that when we talk about the great flood. But this isn't what he says to Jeremiah. This is not a God who is destroying things. We've actually come across a God who is remaking things, even if they are marred or resistant. And even if, like my attempts, I could have remade that, but unlike God, I didn't have the faith in myself, I didn't have the patience, and I didn't really couldn't be bothered. If you read through the Old Testament, if you read through relationship that the Jews have, the chosen people, have with God, it is one of development and evolution. Things that are there in the Deuteronomy books, though things that are there in the laws at the beginning, are changed and are modified, are altered. One thing Robert shared with me that I have used before, it is all the bits in the Bible where they said, oh, you're not supposed to speak to the Moabites, you're not supposed to do this with them, you're not supposed, and later on they do. Why? Because God has evolved with them, their relationship and their understanding, not just of God and them, but of themselves and of themselves as others. The Ten Commandments and the laws in Deuteronomy actually are there that they may live in peace with God, but in peace with one another and in peace with those around them. Because those laws apply to everybody there, even the sojourner, the alien in the land. And those change and adapt as they get closer to God. Just as I've said before, as we have relationships with people and we get to know them, so we develop in our relationship with them. As I said, this morning's greeting was quite touching in a way, because I'm not a stranger. I'm not someone you don't know. I'm not someone who sort of plonks in because you're desperate. I'm someone you ask in because you're desperate. But it is that feeling of walking into a fellowship and know that it's a fellowship there and you're part of that fellowship. You know, I hope it's the same when you meet with people of, well, it will be from people of Bath Road because you've been meeting them for far longer than I have. And that's what happens in our relationships with one another. It's what happens with people. It's one of the ones they use on TV as a shortcut. The usual one on TV with any detective pairing, when there's a new detective comes in or someone new in the office, is they get them the coffee or tea they like it. Milk and no sugar, isn't it? I remember, you see, from 5 years before. I have no idea what people have. I ask them or they have to put up with it. But that's a sign of our evolving. And while we have this remaking God, this God who is evolving in his relationship with people, we also get a God who calls us to be part of the shaping. You get the bit where Abraham talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, will you destroy them for 40 people, 50 people? It's a bit like being on the auction when Del Boy gets the watch, isn't it? Will you do it for 40 people? Will you do it for 30? Would you do it for 20? Would you do it for 10? And he gets God down. And in the end, those people are still disappointed, trying to find, was it 5 gracious ones? Or the bit where Moses coming down from the mountain sees them dancing around the golden calf and God wants to destroy the people. And Moses says, no, destroy me. It's my fault. I left them. I didn't guide them, as you said. And God relents. So we begin to see a God who engages with us about the shaping. So brothers and sisters, yeah. God didn't say to me at that age, go back, Mark. Go back and work at that potter's mill. Because he knew it was a hopeless cause. He worked me in other ways. He put me to do other things. As you know, over the years, 2 things I'm rubbish at. DIY and gardening. Oh, no! I got our rose bush at the back we were given. We moved it. I've had 3 lots of blooms this year. I've had 3 lots of blooms. I'm amazed. It just shows you what ignoring it can do. I said to God, I'll plan it, you do it. He did his bit. I did my bit as well. I planned it. So that's my one success in gardening, okay? So keep that in mind, that's it. If you're very good at gardening and with wonderful roses, please do not come up at the end and tell me how to make them better, because I will A, forget it, or I B, will do it wrong and I will kill them, and my wife will be so upset. Me and God's doing all right. But I'm rubbish at DIY. I'm rubbish at gardening. I am really rubbish at DIY. Putting up a shelf, you measure down, you measure down, you measure up. No, I'd measure down, and then it would be like this. And my wife would say, how did you do that? That's just a skill. My dad took 25 years to put up in our old coal cupboard. Oh, remember that when the coalman came? In our old coal cupboard. It then became our general store area out in the utility. Took my dad 25 years to put a shelf up. 25 years, honestly. 1/2 hour later, it was down. We heard this great crash, and my mum just walked in, opened the door, went, typical. And that was it. But God shapes us. But God allows us in the shaping. God looks to us and says, What is it? What is your passion? What are you good at? What do you want? What are the gifts and abilities that I've given you, that have shone in you? Let's use those. Let's shape those. That's why we're all different. That's why we're all different. Because if we're all the same, or nearly all the same, you'd have about 25 of us up here talking at once, and 4 of you sitting down there thinking, I've got no idea what they're saying. That's why we're different. Because God engages with us as individuals. When God looks at that pot that is going wrong, God doesn't wipe it off. God says, let's remake. Let's get engaged together and remake. We call that hope. And we know, as Viktor Frankl said about people who survived death camps, Auschwitz, Dachau, and so on, the people who survived and survived afterwards, with those who had hope. I don't know how in the midst of that those people found it, but they did. And they were the ones who rebuilt lives. They were the ones who went on to do many great things in society. They were the ones who wrote the books and made the challenges to our humanity. And redemption. Redemption is there. Okay, you've gone a bit wobbly. You've gone a bit... Shall we just start again? Shall we just fold it in and start again? There's that part in Jesus Christ Superstar. I've been dying to meet you, dying to meet you. I didn't think we'd go this far. Could we start again, Lord? Could we start again? But that song is about more than the journey God, Jesus is on, and their fear for that. That actually is the thing about themselves, where they realise they've misunderstood. Could we start again? And God's thing is yes. And all our hymns today are reflecting about how we should start again in our lives and with our world. How we should engage with one another to start again things. God isn't inflexible and says, this is it, I'm going to make you this. And if you resist, that's it. That's not the God we praise and worship. That's not the God who we see reflected in Jesus. Because otherwise you have a dichotomy of a God who's vengeful and saying, if you don't do this, I'm not interested, get lost. And a Jesus who says, come to me. You can't have that in the same triune. But you're saying, well, Jeremiah was talking to a nation. Well, he was talking to the nation of Israel, as it was then. But a nation's made up of peoples. A nation's made up of people. You see, if we're the people who want to be remade, if we're the people who want to be reshaped, if we're the people who are engaged in that relationship because we want to bring the kingdom in, then it's up to us to get engaged and involved. It's up to us to continue that struggle when it looks like it's really hard work, which has probably been for most of our lives as Christians. It's not been easy. It's not easy to get people involved. It's not easy to get people involved in anything, let alone in church and in faith. It's hard. Sometimes our own structures and organisations, as you know I say, whichever denomination, count against us. How are we going to counter Christian nationalism when that's all people see on TV? When they see people gathering around Trump, praying over him, saying he was delivered by God, that he might be the saviour of their nation. How do we conquer? How do we deal with that? How do we deal with a perception of church that is unreal? A perception of what church believes, what it does, that is unreal. The only way we can do that is to be that moulded vessel that God has shaped with us in the world. And we may get knocked over. We may get a few cracks down the side. Good grief. Who hasn't? But actually what God does with us when we've been knocked over and cracked down the side, he does that Japanese thing. He fills the cracks with gold. The gold of his grace, the gold of his love, the gold of his forgiveness, that's not just there for us to use, but is there to shine out of us so that people say, where did all that come from? You're battered and bruised and cracked. How come you've got all that gold? And then you tell them and then you give it to them. This is the pot of God is. God's not there to slam it down and to keep pounding it with his fists to get it right. And God's not there to sweep it off the potter's wheel. God's there to do what he's been doing with you and I all our lives. gently mold us and shape us with our agreement, with our faith, with our trust in him, that we might be the people who bring the kingdom in. And brothers and sisters, if we each, just one of us, if we each just bring the kingdom into one person's life, we have made one person's life a kingdom to live in. We may not be able to shape the world, but we can shape enough. We can stand up for the just things. We can stand against the unjust things. Going through my head, just as we were sitting and listening to the Nunc Dimittis, Lord dismiss us, I suddenly thought, what would it be like if we couldn't leave this church because outside there was a crowd throwing stones at the windows because they didn't believe what we believed. Or they perceived they didn't believe what we believed. Or they didn't like the culture we came from or the colour of our skin or the background or our lifestyle. And they were out there daubing things on the wall and throwing stones at the windows. We couldn't be Dimittist. It may never happen to us, it probably won't, but it doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't be standing up and with those to whom that happens. Because we've sung about the kingdom of God being justice and joy. It's not that we enjoy not that we have all the joy if the others don't have justice. So brothers and sisters, I know what you do here. Of course I do. And I know the direction of your travel. And my thing is to say to continue in that. Because at whatever age you get, however old we get, life changes. The things we could do changes. The things we may perceive changes. Our knowledge, our depth, maybe our humanity, maybe our understanding of life changes as we see more of it. And each time God is reshaping us, that we may continue to be his people. I do wish he continued to reshape my patella tendon because it has a real pain, but we'll work on that later. So brothers and sisters, you are the vessel being shaped by the potter whose gentle hands are shaping you, not just for life, but for the kingdom that we wish to bring in here. In Jesus' name. So rejoice and sing. We're going to sing 646. Help us to accept each other as Christ accepted us.
Thank you. Comfort and direct us. The door is open, Lord. Come, sit beside us for a little while, that we may quietly rest in your presence before we step out together into the world. Our lists of prayers seem to grow larger weekly, but we continue to pray for our nations, longing for change, the hungry to be fed, the homeless to be housed, the jobless to find employment, disabled to be treated with dignity, that the old are given security, and that we may live in peace with our neighbours, that nations shall speak unto nations and bring forth peace. Lord, in our mercy. We pray for the church, for the Old Town Partnership, for Highworth, and especially here at Emmanuel, as we embrace the changes before us. We thank you, Lord, for all those who have and continue to bring us your word during Robert's recovery. We pray for Robert and all our elders. At this start of the new academic year, we pray for ourselves and all children, students and teachers, that we may make new friendships and be refreshed for the year ahead. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick. God of compassion, we pray for those who are sick, especially those whose illness is long-term and demands much patience to bear. We remember before you those who are lonely and depressed, and pray that we may be good listeners when friends and neighbours need us. Give us the right words and help us to know what simple acts of kindness may help somebody else. Comfort with your presence those who suffer in body, mind or spirit, and give them courage and hope in their troubles. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. And we pray for the recently departed. We remember before you those who have died, and those whose anniversaries fall at this time. Give strength to those who are left to grieve, and help us to share in each other's sorrow. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, thank you for sitting with us. As we close our door today, may we keep our hearts and minds open to live your words through what we say and do. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
The offertory will now be received. We give these gifts that others may know the love of God in Christ. We give in the words of Oscar Romero, as we aspire not to have more, but to be more. And so we share the words of the grace.
Grace to our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
be with us all. Sing praise number 256. We do not hope to ease our minds by simple answers, shifted blame.
Thank you.
go out into a world where many are hungry. Help us to bring justice. We go out into a world where many are hurting. Help us to bring healing. We go out into a world where many are yearning. Help us to bring hope. We go out into a world where many are lost. Help us to bring love. Amen.